This service, please.
Bye.
Brown, number 179. I'll fly away, number 179. You can remain seated tonight. Pass him this. 179. Some glad morning when this life is over. Fly away to a home of God's blessed shore. I'll fly away.
He said it's going all week. Jim Tim. Been scorned by a neighbor whom I treasured. I've been deceived by a friend I held dear. So many times I've just wanted to give up. Then I remember my Lord is right here. Another sometimes a mountain, another road with rocks to hurt my feet. But when he walks along beside me, I can take it, there will be no retreat. I have questioned the of a loved one. I wondered why it happened to me. But through prayer I have found an answer. It was all quite plain to see. Another hill and sometimes a mountain, another road with rocks to hurt my feet. But when he walks along beside me, I can take it, there will be no retreat. Another hill and sometimes a mountain, another road with rocks to hurt my feet. But when he walks along beside me, I can take it, there will be no retreat.
Amen. Church I've preached in, but I thought that I preached in a service, but yet everywhere I go, man, it's been a little bit unique in every way. It's been the first time I've abandoned the pulpit down here, but
It's still, I used to do it in Sunday school. It's just not the first, I've just never done it while preaching, so it'd be interesting. But brother was saying, my name is Brother Junior Haley. I am from Northside Baptist in Bassett. Y'all have met my pastor, Brother Ron Peel. He's come to some of the revivals and different meetings. I know Brother Van because Brother Van's one of my teachers in the college. I'm not one of his better students, so I'll just clarify that real quick. But I come with Brother David and Brother Clint. I know it was said that Charles Taylor is normally the fellow that fills in, but Charles is actually preaching for Clint Connor tonight, and so somehow y'all got stuck with me. Hopefully it won't be too bad. Though we look at Philippians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 4, but seeing as how the majority of y'all have met me but don't really, I guess, know much about me, like I say, my name is Brother Junior Haley. I'm from Bassett. I've been preaching 8 years in October. I'm 23 years old. I started when I was 15. But Lord's blessed. He's been real good to me as far as opportunities and just allowing me to preach. He's, since January, he's opened at least 2 doors a month for me to preach somewhere. Not always in churches like this, but sometimes in, you know, nursing homes, various places like that where people need me to fill in, because my primary ministry is filling in for people. So, you know, Lord's really blessed as far as giving me opportunities to preach. And two times a month may not sound like a big deal, but at 23 years old, it's really more than I could ask for. Once a month would be more than I could ask for. But the Lord's blessed and been good to me. Starting in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
I want to look tonight
at a simple thought. You know, there's probably messages I could bring that might be better, but I feel like this is a much needed message for our time. I want to preach on how to be content. You know, many Christians, you hear the idea of being content, you think I'm probably wasting your time, but in all reality, as Christians, we ought to be content. And I dare say that tonight you cannot enjoy the life you have until you first learn to be content with it. Until you have learned to be content with what God's given you, you will not be able to have true joy in this life. You won't be able to have that peace that passeth all understanding. So tonight I want to look at just about four or five things here as to how you can have contentment tonight, how you can be content with what God's given you. I want to jump quickly before I really get into my message, though, back over to the book of Proverbs. You don't have to turn with me if you don't want to, but Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 7, I find here some verses most people don't even realize even in the Bible. But we see here the earnest prayer of a man. He says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. I want to look at this prayer real quick before I really even get into it. But I want you to notice here is this prayer, this man Agur, that he is asking, he's begging God. He says, I want two things of you in this life, all I ask of you. He says, first of all, I want you to remove from me lies and vanity. All this uselessness, all these lies, all these problems, all this strife, all this trouble, I want you to remove it far from me. But then he goes on to pray something interesting. This man giving the two great desires of his heart, the second thing he says, Lord, I want you to feed me food convenient for me. He says, I want you to help me not to be so rich that I forget you, or to be so poor that I steal or take your name in vain. He says, I want you to help me to be right there in the middle of where I need to be. Tonight I want to look at how to be right in the middle of where you need to be. The first thing I notice when we go back over to Philippians, we consider who's writing this book. You consider this is being wrote by the Apostle Paul. I believe, if I remember right, he's just spent about 2 years in prison. Finally, the Philippian church has come back in contact with him. Prior to going into prison, he used to have frequent contact with them. They sent him supplies, they took care of him, they helped him. That goes back down there to some of the later verses, around verse 11, when he's talking about that your care of me has flourished yet again. What Paul is trying to tell him, he says, and this is probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What he's telling him is, all this I'm saying to you, I'm not saying this because I want you to up what you're giving me. I'm not saying this because I was worried about your gifts to me. He says, I'm happy that you're giving to me again because it just shows that you've cared for me and hopefully you get a blessing through what you're doing. He says, I'm not speaking in respect of want. He's trying to make it clear to him that in the 2 years, the reason why he never contacted them while he was in prison is because he wasn't worried about them sending things to him because he knew Almighty God was going to take care of it. But I look at Paul tonight, one reason why he's such a great example of this, one reason why it's important when we look at this that he wrote it, is I think if Paul could be content with what he was given in life, I think we ought to be able to. You consider, I just said this man just spent 2 years in jail. Paul had been through some things we couldn't imagine. Yet we really think we suffer persecution if we have to wait in line somewhere. We think we suffer persecution if a message goes a little bit long. You think the preacher's persecuted. I know I can say that y'all do it because I do it. But I get bent out of shape, tore up over little stupid stuff. But I realize tonight that if Paul can say, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am, that tonight you ought to be able to learn to be content in whatsoever state you're in. And I'll give you some reasons why you ought to be content with what you have regardless of what you have. I don't have to know what your condition is tonight because I simply know this, that if you're here tonight, if you've trusted God, contentment has nothing to do with what you have. It's simply rest. How much do you trust God? Whether or not you're content has nothing to do with your possessions. It has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with your family or your friends. It rests solely in how much do you trust Almighty God to take care of you and meet your needs. But I want to look at these things. The first thing I notice Paul tells us as he's trying to help us here, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. When we look at this idea of our joy, when we look at how to be content, the first thing I notice is this. If we're going to rejoice always, if you're going to be able to be happy, one thing I do need to clarify is that when you get this idea that you need to walk around with a smile on your face all the time, you need to be happy, and I hear a great deal of preaching on that. But you're going to have a hard time finding in the Bible where it says to be happy. It says to rejoice, to have joy. Those are two different things. One preacher put it better than I ever could. He said joy is the thermostat. It sets the temperature. It decides what the temperature of the room is. Happiness is just a thermometer to show you what joy is already inside. You see, in your life tonight, joy is something on the inside. It's an inward emotion. Happiness is just the outward display of it. I'm not talking about your happiness tonight. I'm talking about joy. How can you rejoice always? How can you always have this joy inside of you, even when you're facing trials? Because I guarantee if you're here tonight, if you're alive and well, you're facing some kind of trouble tonight. I can guarantee I've seen through personal experience that if you're alive, if you have a pulse, you have some kind of problems facing you. We live right now in a time where everything seems to be going wrong. You look at economy, anything, jobs, everything you can look at, there's somewhere right now that I can guarantee you can relate to this. But I say the reason why you can have joy tonight, regardless of the circumstances, is because joy has nothing to do with circumstances. The thing to understand about joy is this. Joy, your joy is only secure, only as secure or only as safe as what you place your joy in, as the object of your joy. For example, you decide tonight that you're going to take all your happiness, all your joy, all your peace from your job. When your job goes overseas, you've lost your joy. If you decide tonight you're going to put it in your children, I can say from having been a child, and some of you I probably still am a child, but I can say from having been a child, we're going to let you down. If you put it in a person, period, they're going to let you down because people let you down. The only person, the only place you can place your joy and it be secure is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that's stable. You place it in job, you place it in money, you place it in friends, you place it in family, you place it in anything else, and your joy will fail you, because it'll fail you. Whatever you're trusting in will fail you tonight. The only place you can have joy, be secure, and you know tomorrow you can rest and wake up and realize you still have that same joy, is if you're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you joy. If you're looking to anything else in this world to bring you happiness, you're not going to have it. If you're looking to money, you're looking to friends, anything that you might be looking to, you're not going to have it. I know a great deal of people from where I'm at, and I assume y'all are the same way around here, that a great deal of people put their joy in the football team come football season. And where I'm from, most people are Dallas Cowboys fans. So you know right quick, we get awful disappointed. We get disappointed real quick come football season. Our joy is gone very quickly. We put it somewhere that is not safe. We place our joy somewhere that's not, it doesn't do us no good. Yeah, I can pick on Cowboys fans because I am one, but that's not relevant tonight. I don't want y'all to look down on me for that. But as we see and we look at this idea of our joy is only as secure as what we put it in. Joy, as you try to understand it, what it comes down to is this. That inward emotion that you feel is going to be stimulated by something. It's going to be caused by something or someone. Joy is always caused by your relation to something or someone. So the question tonight is, what are you trusting in to bring you happiness? Who are you trusting in to bring you happiness? You know, again, you know, Brother Van's a friend of mine, and I can say this. If you're trusting in Brother Van to bring you joy in this life, to bring you happiness, to give you something that's going to help you out, one of these days, Brother Van's going to bring a message that doesn't quite help you. It hits you somewhere you don't want to be hit. And then your joy is going to be gone. You're trusting in your spouse or your children or your family or anybody, they will fail you. I can tell you tonight, because there's only one person. There's only one person capable of being secure, somebody stable enough you can trust in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you tonight, if you want to be able to rejoice always, if you want to be able to do it, Paul said, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. The only way you can do that tonight is if you're placing your joy in Jesus Christ and what he's doing for you. You look to anybody else or anything else, it doesn't get better. You know, we as people, we tend to disappoint. I come to the conclusion today, I realize that I can be quite a bit of a jerk. I come to that conclusion. It might come as a shock to some people, but I realize that today. And I told somebody today, I said, I can be antisocial and I can be a jerk. And I've realized that, you know, my brother and other people, they tend to look to me from time to time to help them to find joy in life. They look to me, you know, when they're down, help them. What happens when I'm down? How can I help them? But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not change. My Bible says, behold, I'm God and I change not. My Bible teaches frequently that God is not a God of change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, I realize I can trust him, that I can rest in him to give me happiness because he doesn't change. I can rest in him with confidence that tomorrow I can wake up and everything's going to be just as good, if not better, than it was today. But I look also and notice this. In verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I notice something else that he's telling them to do, and this is probably one of the greatest things we need to learn. Tonight, as I said before, your ability to be content has nothing to do with possessions. It has nothing to do with your job. It has nothing to do with your anything else that might be around you. It has nothing to do with where you live. Your ability to be content comes from your relationship with God. It comes from how close are you and how much do you trust him. Well, this is where this prayer matter of prayer comes in. Paul says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. I think Jeremy McGee said it pretty good. He said, if I can find what he said, worry about nothing, pray about everything. That's just a simplified version of what Paul's saying here. He says, worry about nothing and pray about everything. He said, the reason why you can go through this life tonight not worry, because I can guarantee most of you are like me and you get stressed out over a little bit of everything. You have something tonight probably stressing you out. I just talked to a lady from my church before I come down here today about some problems I've been having. And I got so bad yesterday, I had to ask a great number of people to pray for me because I just got to where I couldn't take it. But when it comes down to it, I have the ability. Now, I ask other people to pray for me because I wanted some help. But I have the ability to myself to go to a Heavenly Father who is capable to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. I have the ability to go to a God who I know can take care of me. I tell you tonight, one of the greatest things, greatest promises you can cling to in this life is this. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Also, verses 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us. You may not have much in this life that ought to excite you. You may not have much in this life that you can be truly, genuinely excited about. But I tell you tonight, you ought to be excited when you realize that Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, Jehovah God, King of kings and Lord of lords, says that whatsoever you ask according to His will, He hears you. I realize tonight I can be happy about my life. I can be content. I can be excited. I can be excited because I realize that Jehovah God has said He hears me. Whatever I ask according to His will, He's listening. I just recently preached the message on what Christ prays for you. I realize my Bible also teaches that He ever liveth to make intercession for me. He ever lives to make intercession. That means to pray on your behalf. When you realize that Christ is praying for you, and you realize that everything you say, He listens to you, when you realize that He said you can cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you, that ought to be something that ought to pick up for you. That ought to help you a little bit when you get facing these problems. That ought to get you some excitement. When you realize that you can cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. It may not matter much if I care for you and I want to help you, because for the most part, I don't have the ability to do much for you. It may not matter much if anybody else in this room cares about your problems. When you realize the One who created this earth, and because He created it, He can do whatever He wants with it. When you realize that He cares for you and He cares about your problems, when you realize tonight that any problem that is big enough to matter to you is big enough to matter to God, that ought to help you. That ought to give you some encouragement to pick up and carry on. See, I look tonight at this thing of being content. I recently read a message of another preacher. It said, peace is the possession of adequate resources. Yeah, you hear that idea, peace is the possession of adequate resources. What he's trying to say is peace comes from having everything you need. Now, that makes it sound like I'm talking about money or possession, but that's not in any way what I'm talking about, nor what that preacher was talking about. What he was trying to say is that peace comes from having what you need, but it's not possessions. It comes from having connection to an Almighty God who will give you what you need. You see, you can worry about the wants and the desires and all these little things, but when it comes to the needs, you have no right to worry about them tonight. You have no reason to worry about them. It's an insult to God that you do worry about it. It shows you don't have confidence that He's going to take care of you. Now, I know some people think that they're just natural worriers, so they think they're all right. But I tell you tonight, it's still just as much of an insult to God when you don't take Him at His word. I say tonight, it's still just as much of an insult to God when you don't believe that He is exceedingly abundantly capable to do above all that you may ask or think. I realize tonight, consider this, you know, we live in a society where everybody... we want a second opinion. You go to the doctor, you want a second opinion. You don't like what he says, so you want somebody else to tell you something. You know, we live in that type of society. We want a second opinion on everything. But you know, we've got so used to it, we've got this relationship with God now. When he tells us to do something, we want a second opinion. What we do is we go and we start looking at the checkbook, we start looking at the savings account, we start looking at your heart to do something. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't say money and go and buy whatever you want. I've tried it, it don't work. But I will say this, if God lays it on your heart to do something, you ought to do it. And I tell you why. He said the just are to live by faith. It's not living by faith if you have to check and see if you have the means every time God tells you to do something. Living by faith is when you trust God to give you what you need. Tonight, we are to live by faith. If you want to be content, you have to live by faith. The rest of this message may not help you, but you need this tonight if you want to be content. If you want to have peace, I know I hear a great deal of talk anymore about people wanting peace. They just want peace. They want to be able to just get along with the life they have. I tell you, the only way you're going to get along in the life you have is when you begin to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. when you begin to live by faith, you begin to walk by faith, you begin to trust Him. My Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, whatever you're doing tonight, if you're not doing it by faith, if you're not trying to live by faith, you're not pleasing God. He said it is impossible for you to please Him if you're not doing it by faith. So tonight as we look at these things and we try to understand what does it mean to be content, how can you be content? I tell you, one of the first things you have to understand is that to be content, you have to trust. It doesn't come from your possessions. It doesn't come from what you have available to you. It doesn't come from your job or anything else. It doesn't matter what your environment is. To be content, the first thing you have to understand is where you're placing your joy. It has to be in Christ. But then the next thing you have to understand is that contentment comes straight from your relationship with God. I realize tonight as a Christian, I have the ultimate weapon. I have something that cannot be stopped by the devil or any of his armies. I have something that nobody else can stand up against when I say that I have prayer. When I realize I ask for something in Jesus' name, if I'm asking according to God's will, I realize I have a God that hears me, cares about me, and wants to help me. And because He wants to help me, I also know He's able to help me. And I look tonight,
also
verse 8, I see it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I've noticed something in my life. I work a job where I have the ability. Sometimes I have to think constantly about what I'm doing, but a good deal of time I have the ability. I can start a cut and I just don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm a machinist, so once the machine starts, a lot of times I can drift off wherever I want my mind to go. And I realize this is a great problem for me, because I've come to the conclusion every time that I've ever got bent out of shape, I've got depressed, I felt like somebody wronged me, every time I've ever got mad and just felt and become discontent with my life, every time I blew up and decided I was going to leave the church and I was going to go do this or I was going to do that, it come from one thing. I sat there and I took something little, some little problem. Somebody said something to me the wrong way or something that should be nothing. And because I had the ability to sit there and dwell on it and think on that, over time it became something bigger. And it kept just escalating, getting worse and worse. You may not realize this, you may not agree with me on this, but I'll tell you right now, discontentment stems from this one thing of where does your mind rest at? When you have that time where you're sitting there and you're thinking, when you're riding down the road and you have the time to just sit and think about things, when you're at home by yourself and you're just sitting around thinking about things, where does your mind go? Paul tells you tonight, that if you want to be content, you have to take your mind in this direction. You have to think about those things that are true. You know, there's many ways you can take that, but in regards to somebody, I realized tonight when I began to think, anytime I've ever blew up at somebody and just got mad over nothing, I remember there was a lady in our church at one time that I created in my mind this big fight that never happened. I got somewhere that some other fella started feeding me a bunch of junk that wasn't true, and then she done something that should have been, you know, that wronged me a little bit, but really wasn't anything important. But because that little stuff, this little stuff, this little stuff come together, and somewhere in my mind it all become big stuff, I got mad and I went to the pastor about it and talked to him about this problem. Then all of a sudden I began to realize how childish I sound. I began to realize that I was having a fight with someone and I was the only one involved. I began to realize that this was all in my head. And most times we step back and look at the big picture and think about things, you're going to realize most of the problems you think you have, they're in your head. Because you sat back and you dwelt on these things. You've thought about these things so much that they're destroying you. You know, I said yesterday I had to ask a great number of people to pray for me. And I won't go into the details of what it was, but a fella had wronged me a little bit. It wasn't as big a deal as it probably was to me. I know nobody else would think it was probably as big a deal as it was to me, but I will say, you know, what he done, it hurt me. It violated my trust. And I sat around and I thought about it and I was worried about, well, he's going to make me sound like the bad guy and he's going to go hurt my testimony and these different things. You know, I let it become a big deal when it really wasn't, to the point that I done worried myself sick. You know, I can tell you though, when people began to pray for me, When I realized people were praying, I realized right quick when people began to pray for me, because I saw a world of difference. But I say, we're to think on the good things in this life. If you want to be content, one thing you're going to have to learn to practice is to think about the good things. Because if all you ever think about is the bad stuff in your life, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be content. You're never going to have peace. Until you learn to think about what you have going for you, how good God's really been to you, until you begin to think about what He has done for you in this life, you're not going to have peace in this life. He said, you think about the true things. Going back to this idea, you know, I was talking about the lady there in the church that I then built up this imaginary argument with in my mind. I realized that had I thought about the true things, instead of letting this other fellow over here tell me that she was doing this and that, there was no evidence to it. It was just something he had built up in his mind. If I had thought about the true things, I'd never come to that point. If I'd thought about the things that I knew to be true, if I'd thought about the things that were honest, the things that I've seen with my own eyes, to be honest, I wouldn't have had this problem. If I would have thought about the just things, those things that are just, those things that are right, those things, the pure things, if I'd have thought about the lovely things, the things of good report, I realize, you know, I want to stop on this one for just a second, because I realize anything of bad report, we want to hear about that. You know, I think about the news or anything else, we want to hear the things of bad report. I know some of y'all in here use Facebook, and I will say I use Facebook. That's where I ask people to pray for me on. It can be used for good, but I also realize something about it. I realize with it, we start noticing what other people are putting there and what they're saying. You know, if somebody's saying something good, we tend to pass that up. But you let somebody say something negative, we were real quick to read about that. You know, you don't think you do that, but how many of you watch the news? Pay attention to those articles about good things, talking about something good that's happened to somebody. And I know there's not many of them on the news or in the newspaper, but those you tend to pass up. But you start hearing about this bad thing, about so-and-so over here did this, you're real quick to read those. And I'm not attacking anybody, because I do this myself. I know as I'm flipping through the paper, I'm bad about reading the opinion article just because I like to have something to be mad about, I guess. I go in there and I start seeing what everybody else is saying and reading their opinions, and I just get reminded why I can be a bit of a jerk at times. But as I look at these things, we need to remember, we need to keep our mind on the things that are of good report, the good things that are going on. You need to be able to remember what God has done for you, what He is doing for you. We need to think of the things that are virtuous and the things that are worthy of praise. You know, when you think about your life shouldn't be characterized by the problems. Your life should be characterized by what God's done that's worthy of praise in your life. Your life should be characterized by the things that are praiseworthy. Those things that are good enough, you just need to stop and praise God every once in a while. Because we don't remember so much the little things He does at times. You know, very few of us realize how much we truly rely on Him, realize that, you know, we rely on Him for every breath of life we breathe. So we need to take some time to remember these things that are praiseworthy. But I look also, coming to hear my second to last point, but I look also in verse number 9, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He goes on to tell us something.
What Paul says,
he gives us a list of things. He says, I want you to do these things. If you want to be content, here's some things you need to do. He says, first of all, those things that you've been taught, those things you have heard. He said those things that you've heard here at the church, these things that somebody's told you over throughout your life, these are the things you need to do, these good things that people have told you, the things that come from the Bible. You know, I'm a Sunday school teacher in our adult Sunday school class, so I like to advocate Sunday school. And I can say this, that those things you have learned in Sunday school, we don't tell them to. I don't know who the Sunday school teacher is here, but I can speak on their behalf. We don't tell them to you because we want to waste your time. We tell them to you because we want to help you. If you put those things into practice, it will help you in this life. But then you notice some other things. He says, not only do I want you to do those things that you have heard, he said also I want you, or not just those things you have learned, but I want you to take those things that you have received. Yeah, I realize when I try to think of what we've received, I try to think of those things that you feel like when you've been in the service and you just feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. When you sometimes, every once in a while, you just get a hold of something, it feels like God's given that to you. He said, I want you to do those things. When the Holy Spirit guides you, when He gives you guidance in His life,
I can
guarantee you the greatest way you can go through this life without having a whole lot of trouble is when you begin to follow God through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will give you peace when He wants you to do something. If you don't have peace about doing it, it's probably not God's will for you to do it. So I can say tonight that Paul is telling us, he says these things you receive, the thing that the Spirit of God is telling you to do, I want you to do these things. He said, not only that, though, I want you to do the things which you have heard. And as a preacher, I tend to lean in this direction. I feel like he's telling us something here. I want you to do the things that the preacher has been telling you to do. Yeah, I can speak up for your pastor that now I come, I try not to get him in any trouble for calling on me, but I can say this. I know your pastor well enough to know he's not going to tell you anything that's going to hurt you. I know Brother Van well enough. I've heard him teach. I've heard him preach. I've been around him. The worst thing I've known him to ever tell anybody caused me to get hurt is he told me to go weed eat around the fence and I got poison oak from him. But outside of that, I don't know of him ever telling anybody anything that would hurt. When your pastor tells you something, he's telling you because he wants to help you. If you'll do those things, if you'll put into practice what he's told you, I guarantee you that it'll help you in this life to be content, to have peace. But then I look also at this last thing about the thing that I want you to do. I also want you to do the things that you have seen in me. See, what Paul's trying to tell us here is he says, I'm a godly example for you. He says, I'm a man who's done my best to follow God. And I want you to follow the example that I've set before you. I realize there's some people around here that you know that they're doing their best to follow God. And it would help you if you would make a decision. You're going to follow their example. We need leaders. But just as much as we need leaders, we need some people that are going to follow. You know, I try to tell them that they are to lead by example. But just as important as it is for them to lead by example, somebody needs to be following the example. I say tonight, you know, there's some people trying to lead. There's people who's trying to take leadership and show you how to do right through the testimony of their lives. And I can say this, that we need to follow their example. If somebody's setting a godly example for you, you need to follow that example. You need to follow the example that's been set before you. If you can't look at anybody else, Paul said you can look at his life. You can follow the example he's lived before you. The example through this word you can see of what he done. But I want to look lastly, and then we'll be done, in verse number 13. In verse number 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The last thing I want to notice about being content, very little, actually has nothing
to do with your circumstances.
It has nothing to do with your environment, where you're at, or any of these things. To be content, you have to realize where your strength comes from. You have to realize where your strength comes from. Who are you trusting in tonight to get you through the problems of this life? Who are you trusting in to get you through life in general? If you're trusting in your own ability, if you're trying to run on your own steam, it's going to let you down. Every time in my life, it's because I thought I was capable of doing something myself. I can say tonight
that if you want to have
peace in this life, if you want to be content, if you want to be able to, if you're trying to run on your own abilities, they're going to fail you, and your ability to leave you real quick. The only
way you're going to be able to have joy in this
life is, first of all,
you've got to find a place where your joy comes from. What is the object of your joy?
Where are you trusting in for joy? Anything
other, anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have. The only place your joy is safe is when you rest solely in the Lord Jesus Christ and alone.
Then on top of that, be content. You have to learn to be careful for nothing. We have to break ourselves of this habit to stress and worry over everything. We have to come to the place where we live by faith and we trust God. He hears us. We need to learn to take Him at His word. He said He hears us, and we need to trust Him when He said that He meant that.
But then also we need to learn
to think on the pleasant things, to think about those good things in our life instead of dwelling on the bad things. So I can tell you right now, if you want to get bent out of shape and get mad, the first thing you need to do is go home and start thinking about the bad things and who's wrong. If you want to be content, if you want to be happy, you need to start thinking about what's going right for you in life. Then we also need to do those things that we've been taught, those things we have heard, those things that we have seen, for example, those things that God has revealed to us through His Spirit. We need to put them into practice. It's not enough for you just to hear what God has said. It's not enough just to listen to the preacher. It's not enough just to listen to the teacher. It's not enough. The example has been given to you. You have to put these things into practice. I can tell you all night. We can stay here all night and I can tell you how to be content. But unless you take something I've given you tonight and put it into practice, then I've given you nothing that will help you. None of this helps you if you just take it and have it in your mind and you store it in the back of your head. It's not until you put this into practice that it's going to make a difference in your life. But then I look lastly at this. If you want to be content, one of the most important things I can tell you is you have to consider where is it that you're looking to for help. Who is it you're trusting in to get you through this life? Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can give you joy, He's also the only one that can get you through this life. You can try to run on your own steam. You can try to get by on your own merit or your own abilities or whatever you have that you think makes you good enough to get through this life, but only God can help you to get through the troubles of this life. We have to learn to trust in Him, realize it's through His strength we can do all things. Close in a word of prayer, brother. You close in a word of prayer, brother.
All right. time we were having a service.
Did I?